Hey guys, the annual NBA on Christmas Day tradition continues with five of the best gifts anyone could ask for. The star-studded schedule, and it is mostly star-studded, starts at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on ESPN with the Hawks taking on the Knicks at Madison Square Garden, then over to ABC, the Celtics and the Bucks, followed by the Suns hosting the Golden State Warriors. Then on ABC and ESPN, the Nets battle the Lakers with the day capped off by the Dallas Mavericks meeting the Utah Jazz at 10:30 Eastern, 7:30 Pacific on ESPN. All of that starts, of course, with NBA Countdown, 10 a.m. Eastern, two-hour show from our Seaport studios in New York. Of course, we got Stephen A., Michael Wilbon, Big Perk is going to be in. Of course, Jalen Rose and our host Mike Greenberg, I'll be in there with the news of the day. It's a pretty good Christmas Day lineup. Join us. Hey guys, welcome into another edition of the Woj Pod. And before we get to my guest today, Dan Grunfeld, the author of a really moving new book, By the Grace of the Game, and we'll talk about that with Dan a little bit later. We're right here on the cusp of Christmas Day. Five games on ESPN, ABC, and of course the question around the league and is who's going to be playing. Knicks, Hawks to open the day at noon. Is Trae Young going to be out of protocols? Will he be able to play? Certainly Atlanta, Clint Capella, Danilo Gallinari, you know, several players in COVID protocol. Knicks are starting to get some of their guys back. And of course, all of a sudden, Kemba Walker, it's like getting a new star, a star reborn again for the Knicks, who has gone off in a couple games here since he's come back into the lineup. Boston, Milwaukee, does Giannis Antetokounmpo, of course, the defending NBA Finals MVP, does he get out of protocols? Is he able to play Christmas Day against the Celtics, who, despite having a number of guys out, they do have Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum. Those guys are in the lineup. And, of course, Golden State, Phoenix at 5. Steph Curry, listen, people are going to watch that game no matter who's with Steph. But Draymond Green, looks like Andrew Wiggins will be in protocols. And, of course, the Suns, who have just been, I think, pound for pound, the best team in the league this season. And then, of course, Brooklyn and the Lakers at 8 Eastern on ABC. James Harden's out of protocols. He's expected, I think there's an expectation he'll be ready to play. But Kevin Durant, does he travel with the Nets on Friday to L.A.? Can he play on Saturday? Is he cleared? The Nets obviously have been decimated by COVID. And then the replacement players are getting in protocols. So, but if you have James Harden, if you get KD back, of course, LeBron James is there. Russell Westbrook and AD, of course, Anthony Davis is out with that knee injury for probably about a month. And then Dallas, Utah, closing the night out. Luka Doncic in protocols. That one hurts. You're going to miss Luka, but the Jazz are intact. They've been terrific in the West this season. And I mean, guys, get used to the fact that you're going to be seeing a lot of players over the next, maybe the rest of the season, but certainly the next several weeks, guys you have never heard of coming up from the G League, Joe Johnson coming back out of retirement, Lance Stephenson coming back in Atlanta. And this is the reality of the league right now. You know, you're going to see increased testing in some ways, some respects, over the next couple of weeks after Christmas. That's going to lead to more positive tests and more guys out. That's just, the more teams are testing, the more they're finding. It's the teams who are not testing who've been able to stay away from it. When you don't have a positive test, you haven't had to test others. You don't have a responsibility to do that. And so essentially there's been asymptomatic players playing all season, but their teams weren't testing. And now you're seeing is, you know, when Detroit gets one positive test and they start testing other guys, you see four guys go out yesterday. You see all of a sudden New Orleans, who hadn't had any all season, you know, we reported two of them on Thursday. So it's just the reality of the league, and they're going to shorten that quarantine period. League and the union are working on that. So the 10-day quarantine may go down as low as 6 days, similar to the NFL model. and you'll see guys perhaps getting out sooner. We'll see if that impacts the Saturday Christmas Day games once this gets finalized with the union and league. Then, you know, whether that's late Thursday night when we're taping this or on Friday, and potentially the shortened quarantine period, we'll see if that impacts any guys getting out in time to play on Saturday. That may be too soon, but certainly the rest of the league starts playing again on December 26th, and, you know, you may see some guys who get out of some of those longer quarantine periods a little bit earlier. And the league's not pausing, and that's certainly not the plan. Adam Silver has said it, and I know people think, have talked about, if they do a two-week pause, wouldn't that, this variant's not going anywhere, and I think Adam Silver did say this correctly, like, you're going to have to live, the NBA is going to have to learn how to live with it, and pausing the season's going to just, you'll start back up and guys will be testing positive again. And so that's why these replacement players are going to be there. It is not great basketball in many cases, but your hope is with a team, if you have a slew of positive cases, Cleveland, who is playing as well as anybody in the East, you know, they've got a number of guys, key guys out. You know, they have to hope that they come through it, they're vaccinated, boosted, that players remain healthy, and there's no lingering long-term effects, although many players have felt that, and they don't test positive again this season, and the teams can hope that they've got the antibodies, they don't test positive again in the postseason or later in the year during critical times, and you're just going to keep seeing this run through teams and run through the league. And Baxter Holmes and I did a story on ESPN Plus about the last 3 weeks of the league and, you know, 100-plus players who've tested positive. And, you know, we talked about ghost teams and some of these teams in the league who you just, they're down to 6-7 guys. They've got guys from the G League. They're bringing in guys who are not NBA players, but they've got gutted lineups, gutted teams, and it's not pretty. But it is the reality now, and we'll see if by the end of the year, if this rolls through most of the teams in the league, if you have perhaps post-All-Star break, maybe less of these major outbreaks, if most of the teams had it. I think there's 13 teams right now with at least five guys in protocols, which is incredible. But Christmas Day, we'll have NBA Countdown at 10 a.m. Eastern from Seaport in New York. Stephen A. Smith, Jalen Rose, I think Big Perk is going to be there. Michael Wilbon, of course, and Mike Greenberg hosting. I'll be there with news on the pregame show, 10 to noon, and then a couple other shows later in the day. We'll be breaking in during all of those games. I think those games are set. I know there was talk about the possibility of either moving some time slots around, or if teams were so ridden with COVID that they couldn't play, they could move games in and out. That's not happening. I think you're going to see, as we talked about in, you know, Atlanta, New York, Boston, Milwaukee, Golden State, Phoenix at 5, Brooklyn Lakers at 8, and then Dallas, Utah at 10:30. Those are locked in. Don't think you're going to see a lot of testing from teams on Christmas Eve. I don't know if you'll see a lot of positive tests on the 24th. I think, like, that may not be the case. So hopefully teams can, the players they have in place now, they can get them through to the weekend. So NBA Countdown, 10 a.m., and then a long day of hoops. Still a lot of great players, and I think there's going to be a lot of great basketball starting at noon Eastern on ESPN with the Hawks and Knicks from the Garden. But I want to get to my guest today, Dan Grunfeld, the author of By the Grace of the Game, The Holocaust, The Basketball Legacy, and An Unprecedented American Dream. You're going to get gift cards for Christmas, for the holidays. Please use it on this book. This is a remarkable book. Dan Grunfeld is obviously the son of Ernie Grunfeld, who had a significant NBA career as a player, and then was a general manager, a successful GM with the Knicks, the Bucks, and most recently the Washington Wizards. And Ernie Grunfeld was and is the only NBA player whose family lived through, parents lived through and escaped the Holocaust, and had family members who perished in the Holocaust. And Dan Grunfeld, who had a very, very good basketball career of his own, played at Stanford, played in Europe, in Germany, in Israel, and we'll talk about that with him, the dichotomy of playing in those two places with given his family's history. Went to training camp with the Pacers, with the Knicks, after a really good career on the farm at Stanford. But by the grace of the game, Triumph Books, his agent, Jennifer Keane, tells me, go to Amazon to pick up this book. That's the place to get it right now. Still in hardcover, perhaps headed to paperback here soon.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand slams, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-timey chimney sweeps, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish. But you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com. Sign up today. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package.
A remarkable piece of writing and humanity. Dan, thanks for taking time to visit with us. How are you?
Doing great, Welch. Thanks so much for having me.
No, thank you. Thanks for jumping in. And the Grunfeld name is a name synonymous with basketball. Dan played at Stanford, went to training camp with the Knicks, had a career in Europe before coming back to the States. And obviously Dan's dad, Ernie Grunfeld, people know is a New York Knick, a Knick general manager, and then on as a GM of the Milwaukee Bucks and the Washington Wizards, and an All-American at Tennessee, part of the Bernie and Ernie show, which for a generation is a 30 for 30, but for folks a little bit older, it was one of the great college basketball partnerships in the NCAA. But out of that 30 for 30, Dan, there was a line in that episode about your dad's and your family's history and going back to Transylvania and Nazi Germany and the Holocaust. And it kind of opened a door for you to tell a story that had been there, but had not been in your family necessarily discussed a lot. And certainly in your dad's life, Ernie Grunfeld's life, who people knew he was the one player in the NBA whose family had survived the Holocaust, but was not something your dad talked about. And there came a point where you were able to start opening that door to tell that story. How did the Grunfelds get there? How did you get the Grunfelds there, Dan?
Yeah, you know, I grew up kind of understanding the power of basketball in our family's life and what it had kind of helped us overcome. And, you know, my grandmother, who's, you know, Holocaust survivor, she's 96 years old today and doing amazing. And we've always been very close. She lives 25 minutes from Stanford's campus, came to every single home game I played. And, you know, I always knew what basketball had done for my family. I love to write. I love to tell stories. And so once I retired from my professional career and I had a little more space, this is a story I wanted to tell. And so it took me more than 5 years and researching what happened to my grandparents in the Holocaust, what happened to their families. And and how my dad found basketball, because he came to America as an immigrant at 9 years old. He had never touched a basketball. He didn't speak a word of English. And then about a decade later, he was a gold medalist for the United States. You know, so it's really an amazing story, and it's one I wanted to tell.
Getting there with your family to tell the story, your grandmother, I think, had an openness to wanting to share with you. Your dad did not, and had not shared it, certainly. You know, you think of all the reporters and the storytellers and the people through the years who tried to kind of open that door with your dad. He never went there, but he did with you finally.
He did. And, you know, I don't think it's that my dad didn't want to go there. I think that it's just very hard for him. You know, this is life and death. You know, and so my dad never had grandparents. You know, they were all killed in Auschwitz. My grandmother lost 5 siblings and both parents, and my grandfather lost everyone. You know, so it's not a history that my dad concealed. You know, he certainly, was open that this is his background, but it's not something that it was easy to talk about for him. My grandmother, you know, she survived. And usually with Holocaust survivors, it's a binary. Either they never talk about it or they want to talk about it to make sure the history is preserved. And my grandmother's in the latter camp. And so she always kind of talked to me about her relatives and told stories. And then when I did a year and a half of research, of course, I learned a lot more. And my dad opened up too, you know, and he told me what it was like kind of coming from that background, being an immigrant in the United States, you know, kids making fun of him because he didn't speak English. And, you know, my dad had an older brother when he came to the United States who passed away within a year of leukemia, which is another tragedy in my family. And my dad was open and honest with me about that experience as well, and how he went to the park in Queens to, you know, make friends and learn English, and how he found basketball, and the rest was history.
There's a passage in the book, Dan, about your great aunt Bubby. She was the only family member to come back from Auschwitz. And it says, she was evaluated at the camp by Dr. Joseph Mengele, known by history as the Angel of Death. He took pleasure in deciding who'd live and who'd die. When Mengele's shadowy eyes surveyed Bubby, he pointed to the right, indicating she was fit for labor. The prisoner before her, one of Unyu and Bubby's aunts, Unyu is your grandmother, Lily. The prisoner before one of Unyu and Bubby's aunts had been sent to the left, directly to the gas chambers. Those stories and kind of walking in the steps of those in your family who survived Auschwitz, it's just certainly incredibly powerful, and it speaks to the journey that the Grunfelds went on to ultimately get to, as you said, you're getting to Queens, getting to New York, and your dad walking out into a playground and picking up a basketball.
Absolutely. Yeah, and there's a lot of stories like that, and I had to uncover those details in the research process. But, you know, I tell people there's a lot of darkness in the story, but there's much more light, you know, because my grandparents survived, they came to America, they built a life, and my dad found basketball. And that was so improbable. And again, after his brother's passing, like, my book is called By the Grace of the Game for a reason. You know, basketball for my family is really heaven sent. And we all know the power of the ball to change lives for individuals, for families. And, you know, my family is no exception. But there's some difficult details there.
You talk about your dad kind of losing himself in basketball when his older brother died as a young man. Kind of walk through, you know, I think your dad played for a lot of reasons. And as much as anything, it was a way to assimilate into a new culture. He came here at 9 years old, didn't speak English, and all of a sudden the basketball court was a place where he could fit in, where he could be special as time went on. But the role basketball played at the time of great loss in his own life with, you know, a brother he looked up to and was extremely close to.
Yeah. I mean, for some context about my uncle, you know, my dad's native language is Hungarian. And so he called my uncle something in Hungarian, which in English translates to my king. You know, that's how much my dad loved and looked up to his brother. So when he passed away, you know, my dad was, you know, lacking direction in this country because my grandparents had to work all the time to build a life. And, you know, he was in New York City, and basketball is a city game. That's what kids did. You know, so he just went to the park. And like you said, it was to assimilate. It was to make friends. And it's interesting because I grew up so differently than my dad. And I write very honestly about this in the book. You know, my mom was driving me to every basketball practice starting in second grade. My dad's working with me in the driveway. My sister's coming to the games. my grandparents didn't see my dad play basketball until he was a junior in high school, you know, where his high school coach called their fabric store and said, you have to see this kid play basketball. And, you know, a year later, he's an All-American and one of the most highly recruited players in the country. And it was like a dream for my family, you know, and people know my dad, you know, he had a very solid NBA career, a great career as an executive and a long one. But he was solid as an NBA player, but he was a phenomenon in high school and college, you know, and he was an Olympic gold medalist. And you mentioned the Ernie and Bernie show, and that all came, you know, from this background that people really didn't know about. And, you know, he was definitely driven by what had happened, you know, and basketball just, it was such a sense of healing from the game.
Dan, what does it do for your own relationship with your dad, with your grandmother, when you sit and spend the hours and hours and hours to talk through some very emotional topics and dig into places that are can be difficult at times to dig into? What does it do with your own relationship with them, the process of doing the book?
Yeah, you know, it definitely was an emotional journey for everyone, myself included. I mean, writing the book, there were tears shed, there were great moments of joy, and that's what life is. And I really learned that from my grandmother. Life is, you know, there's beauty, there's pain, there's tragedy, there's triumph. And I felt it all during the process of writing the book, you know, because I really lived inside these moments where, you know, my family, you know, surviving the war, my great-grandparents being killed in Auschwitz, you know, my dad losing his brother. So those are really hard things. But then on the other hand, there's my dad coming to America and probably becoming this basketball star and my own career. So there was really the spectrum of emotions. We all felt them. Ultimately, it's given me a greater understanding for my dad and his journey because, you know your parents' stories, but I took a year and a half to like ask every question I can think of. So you really get to know what people have been through. And, you know, I think for my dad, there's probably a level of, it was cathartic, you know, because they're not things he talks about. You know, so while it's difficult that it's a difficult story to relive, I think that, you know, he was glad to share it with me and I have the space to be able to share it kind of with the world. You know, he was not able to do that over time. And, you know, for my grandmother, it was just wonderful to be able to write her story because she always said to me that she's scared that no one will know her family members even existed. You know, they were just sent to Auschwitz and never heard from again. But now in my book, their stories are told. Their memories live forever. And so that's something that's really powerful. And I know they're both very grateful and very proud of me, but you know, it's difficult as well.
You said there's a lot of light in this book too. The Larry Bird incident that you tell of. Tell that story.
I'll tell it. And so and again, I mentioned the dichotomy of life, right? Pleasure, pain, you know, joy, sadness. I wanted to reflect that in the book, right? So you're hearing things that are a little heavier, a little harder, but you're also hearing moments of great levity and lightness. And so they exist side by side. And the Larry Bird story is a really good example of that. The backdrop is I grew up as a basketball obsessed kid in Northern New Jersey, where my dad is an NBA player and then an executive. So, I mean, I was, you know, basketball cards in my bed at night, you know, box scores in the morning, the whole thing. And so I just loved Larry Bird growing up. And when I graduated from Stanford, I played summer league with the Indiana Pacers and Larry Bird was the general manager. And so I was invited to dinner one night after practice, which I thought would just be a team dinner. But I got there early. I was so excited. And it turns out that there was only four people at the table and two of them were me and Larry Bird. So already this is a situation that's getting me a little bit frazzled, right? Because I'm sitting next to Larry Bird the whole night. It's the coolest thing ever. Because of my nerves, I was drinking a lot of water and just downing ice water. And I write the book as if it were my job. And I really had to go to the bathroom, probably starting in the middle of dinner. I said, man, I have to pee right now. But I was sitting next to Larry Bird. And because of how much I loved the game, I'll at least say that it was impossible for me to remove myself from the table. And so it got worse and worse. But my stubbornness and my love for Larry Bird and basketball kept me at that table. And I'll get the book and read the story if you want to know exactly how it ended, but I got in a little bit of trouble, but it all worked out okay.
You mentioned going to camp with the Pacers. You went to camp with the Knicks back when I think they were doing camp up in Saratoga and Mike D'Antoni was the coach. But then you went and played in Europe, and you know, I think knowing the context of your family history to have played in Germany and Israel. But going to Germany, Dan, you had a conversation with your grandmother about that before you signed and went over there to play.
Yeah, and I write the book. I'm probably the only professional basketball player who had to call his grandmother and ask permission to sign his first contract. And that's the truth. You know, I graduated Stanford. I knew I was going to start my career somewhere in Europe. And my agent called and he said, "Hey, I have a great opportunity for you." And I was ready to roll. I said, "Awesome. Where are we going?" And he said, "We're going to Germany. It's going to be great." I said, "Okay, well, I need to talk to my grandma first." I mean, it was the first thing that crossed my mind. And I called her right away and I said, "You know, on you, I have an opportunity to start my professional career, but there's a problem." And well, first she said, "Mazel tov." You know, she was so proud of me, but I said, "There's a problem." And she said, "Well, what's the problem?" I said, "It's in Germany." And I'll never forget what she said to me. She said, "Sons are not responsible for the sins of their fathers," you know, which is such a powerful, powerful perspective. You know, she'll never forgive that generation of Germans for what they did, but she'll never blame this one. You know, and it's about treating people fairly. And she said, "You go, you enjoy, play basketball, learn about the culture." And that's what I did. And I had a great experience there on and off the court. And it was really kind of a coming full circle moment for my family. I mean, my team, we drove by the site of the Nuremberg rallies, which were these, you know, infamous Nazi rallies in the 30s and 40s. We went to the Holocaust Memorial in Berlin. And my family has that history, you know, so and I also write about this, honestly, in the book. My best friend on my team was a German national team player. And we got very close and we opened up to each other, you know, because my family was on one side of that war. His family was on the other, you know, and he talked about the guilt that his generation carries, you know. So, and also the theme of the book, basketball bringing people together. You know, it was the ball that connected me to my teammate who was German and kind of brought all this history together. And, you know, and then you mentioned I finished my career in Israel and I played for the team in Jerusalem. So also very significant for a family who comes from the Holocaust. You know, my dad wore number 18 for the Knicks, which is a symbolic number in Judaism. I play for Jerusalem. So, you know, in so many ways, it's basketball and Judaism in our family's life that are kind of intertwining.
The book is By the Grace of the Game, The Holocaust, A Basketball Legacy and an Unprecedented American Dream. Triumph Books. You're going to get a lot of gift cards for Christmas. You know, you're going to see some relatives around Christmas, just after Christmas. You need to pick up this book. It transcends certainly basketball. It's a piece of certainly American history. And Dan Grunfeld tells this story beautifully. Dan, appreciate you taking time. Congrats on the success of the book and looking forward to catching up with you soon.
Likewise. Thanks so much for having me, Woj. It was great.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Woj Pod. A big thank you to my guests today, including author Dan Grunfeld, whose book, By the Grace of the Game, The Holocaust, A Basketball Legacy, and an Unprecedented American Dream by Triumph Books. You need to go out, get it, read it, get it as a gift. It is a remarkable story of the Grunfeld's family journey from his grandparents in the Holocaust to his own journey as a player, and of course his dad, the great Ernie Grunfeld. Be sure to listen to new and archived episodes of the Woj Pod wherever you get your podcasts. Be sure to also listen to The Low Post with Zach Lowe, The Hoop Collective with Brian Windhorst, the Adam Schefter podcast with Adam Schefter. Have a great holiday, guys. Catch you soon.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.